There was a word during the week about, and this was, I'll just go through the word. Tell my people to let go of the past, to come into the calling I have on them. Stop looking back. Don't hold on to things that no longer work. I've made a better way. I desire my people to be free of the past. Now, it's an interesting thing. I want you to, if you can put up that first slide, please. Okay. This is an image of regret. Strange? It's about burning up lots and lots of energy and going nowhere, making lots of noise. It's an exercise in futility. I've been there. I know. I'm talking from personal experience. It's about spinning our wheels, right? We get stuck. Now, in his book, Great Expectations, Charles Dickens created a character called Miss Havisham, whose life stopped on the morning of her wedding when the groom didn't show up. And I've talked about this before, but I'm going to cover it again. Miss Havisham received the letter cancelling her wedding as she was getting dressed, a letter which also revealed her intended had swindled her. She has thereafter worn just one shoe, as she'd only managed to put on one before the letter was delivered. All the clocks in Miss Havisham's house are stopped at 8:40, the moment she learned of her betrayal. The blinds are kept permanently down, meaning she lives in a candlelit twilight. She's permitted nothing to be moved since the day she was deserted. The wedding cake and the remains of the bridal banquet are still laid out, rotting, mouldering, stale, disintegrating on the tablecloth. Beetles and spiders lurk among the remnants of the aborted feast. The rooms of Miss Havisham's decaying mansion are never cleaned or dusted. Grime encrusts the windows, further restricting the penetration of daylight, and dust has piled up on the furniture and floors. She's in prison. That word about prison was spot on. I don't know if Neil knew when I was talking about this or not. Now, if you think that that's just a character in a book, it was actually based on a lady called Eliza Donathorne, who lived in Camperdown in Sydney. And at the age of 26, Eliza Donathorne became an eccentric recluse. The curtains of Camperdown Lodge were drawn and shutters nailed shut. The garden was not tended and became overgrown with weeds. She insisted that the front door be left permanently ajar so that her husband-to-be could announce his presence when he returned to her. But she kept a mastiff bull tied up by the door to deter would-be burglars. She's in prison. And the prison is regret. Now, it's a form of grief. Regret is a form of grief. There's a death. There's something that's gone wrong. There's something that's happened. Something in me that's died. Now, grief is valid. We all grieve. But if we don't come to an end of grief, it's very, very, very unhealthy. So we're talking about getting free from regret. What's it look like? If we can put that next slide up, slide two. Regret is a feeling of sadness about a mistake that you have made and you wish that it could have been different and better. Next slide. Regret is to feel sorry, disappointed, distressed or remorseful about something. To remember with a feeling of loss or sorrow, it's to mourn. A feeling of sorrow, disappointment, distress or remorse about someone something that one wishes could be different. If only. Being caught out for something foolish, rash, embarrassing, morally wrong, or a missed opportunity. Do you relate? Regret is an emotion we all experience at one time or another. It is in itself neutral. Regret is neutral. It's what we do with it that matters. If it becomes our master, then we become a slave. Healthy regret should lead us to change. That's repentance. There's a saying in the Jewish Talmud which refers to sin but can apply equally to regret. It says, regret starts off as an occasional visitor who comes, sorry, it starts off as an occasional visitor who becomes a guest that stays a while, who then becomes the master of the house. So I went on the internet and I typed in regret, and I came across this a site called Psych Central. In part it reads, gives us some insight. This is just diagnosis, okay? We do get to the cure in a moment. A major challenge of being human is to allow ourselves to have regrets without being debilitated by them. Obsessing on past actions or decisions that we feel badly about can lead to depression and rob us of the joy of living. Replaying scenes in our mind and wishing we had done things differently can keep us spinning our wheels, creating much misery. Caught in the grip of woulda, shoulda, coulda, we're hijacked from the present moment and punish ourselves with an excessive barrage of self-recrimination. So regret anchors us in the past. It means we're living in the past. We find it hard to live in the present and we can't move forward. It prevents us from doing God's will, because God's will is always now and in the future. It's not in the past. And if we are living in the past, we are stuck. It's not where God wants us to be, and He wants to help us to get out. Now, there's two men in the scriptures who had massive regret. Well, I can think of three, but I'll touch on two for the moment. And they were very good friends. Well, they were very good friends of Jesus, Peter and Judas. And on the same night, they do the same thing. Peter denies Jesus. Judas denies Jesus. They both know that they have done something that they just, it's like, why did I do that? How did I do that? And they both experience deep regret. Peter turns to the Lord and he trusts. He weeps, he mourns, but he believes that he can be forgiven. Judas, on the other hand, he weeps and mourns and thinks, there's no hope for me, I'm done. I might as well kill myself, which he does. So there are two responses which to the same, very same situation. Self-condemnation and regret are very close cousins. So we could also be talking about self-condemnation as much as we're talking about regret, but we are talking about regret. The devil likes to keep us imprisoned in these emotions because he just likes to play with us, torment us. At the core of deep regret and self-condemnation is a lie. It goes something like this. What I've done is unforgivable. Perhaps God can forgive me, and maybe others, but I cannot forgive myself. What Jesus has done on the cross might be enough for everyone else, but it's not for me. I'm the exception. That's a lie that Judas believed, and it led him to despair. So where do lies come from? There's only one place that lies come from, the father of lies. He comes, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's a summary of his nature, and that's a fair summary of the effects, the fruit that regret and self-condemnation cause in our lives. In fact, when we go to hell, some people say, oh, a loving God, how could he send anyone to hell? We choose hell. And those in hell, one of the things that they have to deal with is that they chose it. And it is an eternal regret. There is no change, no mercy, no turning back. They know that they're there because they chose it and they've rejected God. And they have to live with that for eternity, eternal regret. We don't have to live with that. We don't have to live with that. Praise God. That's the devil's plan for us. He wants us to be held in regret. He wants us to be held in that emotion. He wants us to be in that prison. He doesn't want us free. He wants to play with us, torment us, just because of who he is. So, how do we get free? If we can go to the next slide. The key to unlocking the prison door of regret and self-condemnation is, first, I need to accept that I cannot change the past. Now, that might sound easy, but if you're living in regret, that's one of the most difficult things that you have to come to terms with. I cannot change the past. That's the most frustrating thing. I wish I could, but I can't, and I need to accept it by God's grace. Not even God can change the past. And until I accept this truth, I can't begin to move forward. Saint Faustina, known as the Apostle of Mercy, made these entries in her diary. Time goes on, never to return again. Whatever is enclosed in it will never change. It seals with a seal for eternity. It is no longer in my power, she said, to change, correct, or add to the past, for neither sages nor prophets could do that. And so what the past has embraced, I must entrust to God and his mercy. The only freedom is in mercy, God's mercy. And she says, O present moment, you belong to me, whole and entire. I desire to use you as best I can. That is a really healthy attitude. The next thing, slide five, admit that if I am enslaved, bound by regret or self-condemnation, I am imprisoned in the past. We've talked about that. And we need to desire to be free. Sometimes we can be in regret and we get, for some reason, we get some sort of satisfaction out of it. Sometimes there's a reason that we have not got free. And sometimes it's, in a perverse sort of way, I like either being a victim or I like self-pity. There's something sometimes that I need to admit to myself there, this is wrong. And I need to repent. And that's our next slide. Repenting is changing direction, change my mind about believing the lie. And then I need to renounce it. That's the next slide. Renounce the lie. Now, when we renounce something, we need to be serious about it. We need to, if, for instance, we're praying for addictions. Regret can be an addiction. You are destroying my life. I don't want you in my life. Get out. You're doing me no good at all. I hate this. You are destroying me. Why should I put up with you? Get lost. That's renouncing. And you need to mean it. Because it is destroying me. Because it is tormenting me. Because it is preventing me from doing God's will. Because it's no good for me and it's no good for anyone else. Then I need to embrace the truth. What's the truth? The truth is, like Peter, I can be restored. The truth is, there's freedom in God's mercy. The truth is, I don't have to put up with this. The truth is, I can walk free by God's grace. It's really important. The next one, I must forgive myself for believing the lies that I have believed. That can be a real problem. Forgiving myself for being such a dill. Chris, you've been a dill. I forgive you. Oh, that feels good. I forgive you again. It's really important to forgive ourselves and speak it out. Chris, you have been a dill, but I forgive you. Okay. I must exercise faith. Now, sometimes we have to think, we have to work up faith. You know, faith. No. Faith, that's me huffing and puffing. Faith is simply, God, you're bigger than this. God, you're much bigger than this. You hold the universe in your hands. You've created all things. This is nothing to you. You're big. I'm small. And my problem is even smaller. You can do this. We need little faith in a big God. Then I must walk in faith by choosing to live in the present and create a new habit. See, if we've got a habit, an addiction, we need to create a new habit. And the new habit is I forgive myself. I renounce. Regret comes back, all these thoughts, images, feelings. Hey, what are they doing there? Get lost. And we go through it again. And it takes time. But today's the day you start. There has to be a starting point. Today's the day you start. And then sometimes there's other hangers on. You know, sometimes it's shame, self-condemnation, unbelief, doubt. Those things also need to be renounced. And sometimes that's helpful if you go and see someone. And sometimes there's a cluster of things there that want to hang on and make you miserable too. But it's good to, if you can identify them, renounce them. But if you're having trouble, go and see someone pastorally. So until we repent and forgive ourselves of the past, it will have undue influence over the future. I mentioned a third person who had regrets in Scripture, the Apostle Paul. Paul possibly killed people, Christians. And if he didn't kill them directly, he was responsible for their deaths and imprisonment. How do you live with that? He had to live with that. But you know, what God, sometimes what the devil wants to use to destroy us, God uses to redeem us. Look at Paul. What a redemption. What a redemption. Was he weighed down by this? I'm sure he was. Did he know that he was forgiven? He certainly did. That means I can be forgiven. That means you can be forgiven. Paul talks about himself as being the worst of sinners. Philippians 3:13, he says, "This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining for what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Praise God. That is a free man. If you're in regret today, this scripture needs to be in your Bible, underlined, highlighted with blinking lights. And you need to meditate on it. This is the truth for you. This is God's goal for you, his purpose. Now, I love Padre Pio. It was his feast day a couple of days ago. He wrote this letter to one of his spiritual daughters. He says, "Any mental picture of your life that focuses on past sins is a lie, and this comes from the devil. Jesus loves you and has forgiven you your sins, so there is no room for a downcast spirit. Whatever persuades you otherwise is truly a waste of time. You're spinning your wheels. It is also something that offends the heart of our very tender lover. On the other hand, if the mental picture of your life consists in what you can be, present, or could be, future, then it comes from God." Regret, when we get stuck there, it offends God. It offends him because we are not believing that he's big enough or that he cares enough or that he loves us. It's a little bit like, you know, sometimes a child gets really, really upset and all you want to do is comfort them. You know, they throw a tantrum. All you want to do is comfort them. They just won't let you near them. And it's, you know that they're doing themselves damage by what they're doing, you know. But all you want to do is comfort them. And that's how God feels. And he can't reach us until we're willing. So I remember hearing a story that Derek Prince shared once, and I think it's a really good image. And it's a true story. And it was about a guy called Wilson, who was on death row in the United States during the presidency of Andrew Jackson. And Wilson, being on death row, was to be executed. There was a call for clemency. People signed a petition. It went to Congress. Andrew Jackson, among others, signed that a pardon for him. He was given a pardon. The pardon was delivered to Jackson. He's in the jail. Jackson, here you are. Here is your pardon. And he wouldn't take it. So they just sort of left it on the bed, and they left his prison door open, and sort of thought, you know, this guy's nuts. Anyway, all that day, he stayed there. They took the evening meal. Next day, he's still there. Prison door's still open. A week later, he's still there. 2 weeks later, went on for quite some time. Eventually, word gets back to Congress about this guy who's been given a pardon and he's not taking it up. And they have a debate. And they say, well, what do we do about this? You know, this is sort of making a mockery of, you know, we've gone to a lot of trouble to help this man get free. What do we do about it? And they come to the conclusion that anyone who will not receive a pardon deserves condemnation. And that's what happened. He was hanged. Have you ever been in prison and the door's been open and you haven't come out? Been there, done that. For some of us, we need to take the pardon. We need to receive by faith what Jesus has done on the cross to set us free. He's pardoned us. It's available to us. We need to take the pardon and we need to walk out the door. I'm free. You know what it says on the... On the pardon, in blood, it's written, it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. The cross is the place where it's finished. Now, if you've been listening to what I've been saying and you think, that's me, well, that makes two of us here. But there's probably more than that. What I'd like you to do is just close your eyes and I want you to talk to the Lord and you say, just ask him, have a conversation. Lord, is this for me? Is it really true? Is it really true that I can be set free? Is it really true? Did you really do this for me? Is this what you want for me? Am I stuck? Can I forgive myself? By God's grace, can I forgive myself? I know I can't do it on my own, but can I forgive myself? Do I want to be free? Now, I don't know how to go any further than this. I guess there's so much just depends on you. But maybe if you really want to get free, maybe if you're willing. I don't want to embarrass people, but sometimes it's good that we make a faith action. Today's the day, Lord. Today's the day I'm choosing to walk out. Today's the day I've taken the pardon. Today's the day that I'm choosing to say I renounce whatever it is, my regrets. And I'm choosing to embrace your mercy. And maybe if you want to do that, if you want to sort of make that choice, maybe if you just stand, you don't have to, but sometimes it's just good to do it. And we'll pray. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you that the cross is the great stop sign to the torment. To the torments of the devil. And Lord, today we choose. Jesus, I renounce. And in your heart, just say it out. Jesus, renounce whatever it is. It doesn't have to be loud enough for anyone to hear, but it needs to come out of your mouth. There's power in speaking words. There's power in the word. I remember praying with someone once and I said, and they couldn't get the words, forgive us our sins as we forgive those. They couldn't say it. And it wasn't until they said it that there was freedom. And we took them, I remember taking them through the Our Father. When they said it, there was power in them confessing. And that's what I want you to do now. Lord, I renounce regret. It's not doing me any good. I renounce this in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus and through the power that's available through the cross. I renounce you in Jesus' name. I want nothing to do with you. I'm finished with you. Today's the day. I'm walking free. I'm going. I'm not coming back. I don't want you. You've been destroying my life. You're no help to me. Get lost. Get out of my life. Go. Don't come back. And I am choosing freedom. I am choosing today to live in the present. I'm choosing today to go forward. I'm choosing today to live the life that God has called me to. I'm choosing today to leave the past. I'm cutting the anchor. I'm going forward. I'm coming with you, Lord. I'm on your agenda. I'm walking with you. I want to go with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.